The Restaurant of Many Orders by Kenji Miyazawa. Once, two young gentlemen from a city were walking among rustling dry leaves in the heart of the mountains. They were dressed like British soldiers and carried shiny guns. With them were two dogs that looked like polar bears. They were talking while they walked.
"These mountains around here are outrageous. There's no single bird or animal. I just want to shoot something. Pow, pow!"
"It will be jolly fun to shoot in the yellow belly of a deer a few times. I could see it now, spinning about a couple of times and dropping dead."
They were deep in the mountains. So deep, in fact, that even their hunter guide has gotten lost and wandered off. So deep, in fact, that even the dogs that look like polar bears got dizzy. They howled for a while, then foamed at the mouth and dropped dead.
"Well, that's a sheer waste of 2,400 yen," said one of the men, peeling back his dog's eyelid.
"Well, mine was 2,800 yen, said the other man, lowering his head in regret.
The first gentleman turned pale and said to the other gentleman, carefully watching the other gentleman's expression,
"I think we should go back."
"So do I. The weather's gotten cold and I've gotten hungry."
"Well then, let's call it quits. On our way back, we can stop by that inn we stayed at yesterday and buy some game birds.
They had rabbits too, didn't they? It'll be just as if we had hunted them ourselves. Well, let's get going then."
But they had no idea which way they should go. The wind was howling, grass was soughing, leaves were rustling, and trees were creaking.
"I'm so hungry. I've been having a pain in my side."
"So have I. I don't fancy walking much further."
"Neither do I. Ugh, I'm at a loss what to do. I'm dying to eat something."
"I'm dying to eat something too."
The two gentlemen carried on like this as they walked through the rustling silver grass. Just then, glancing behind, one of them saw an impressive Western-style house. At its entrance was a sign, "European-style restaurant, Wildcat House."
"This is perfect. There's a place to eat right here. Let's go in."
"Well now, I wonder what a restaurant is doing in the heart of the wilderness. But I suppose they serve food here."
"Of course they do. That's what the sign says."
"Let's go in. I'm so hungry I feel like I'm going to faint."
The two of them stood at the entrance. It was quite impressive, made of white porcelain bricks. There was also a glass door with gold writing that said, "All are welcome. Please come in for a free meal." The two hunters were overjoyed and said,
"Well, how about that? What a wonderful place the world is. We had a bad time earlier today, but now look how lucky we are. Not only did we find a restaurant, but one with free food."
"It seems so. The sign says free meal."
They pushed the door open and went inside. Soon they found themselves in a hallway. On the other side of the glass door was written, "We especially give our fat and young customers a tumultuous welcome." The two were thrilled to know they would be especially welcome.
"Hey, that's us!"
"That's right, we're both fat and young."
Walking down the hallway, they came to a door painted in light blue.
"What an unusual house. I wonder why it has so many doors."
"This is the Russian style. All houses in cold places or in the mountains are built like this."
As they began to open the door, they noticed something written in yellow above them. "This is a restaurant with many orders. Thank you for your cooperation."
"They're busy in mountains like this?"
"Well, even down in Tokyo, there aren't that many big restaurants on the main streets, were there?"
They opened the door as they were talking. On the other side was written, "We really have many orders. Thank you for your patience."
One of the gentlemen grimaced. "Well now, what do you suppose that means?"
"Well, I'm sure it means that they get a lot of orders, and each one takes a lot of time to prepare. So, please be patient."
"I'm sure that's it. I hope we get to the dining room soon."
"Yes, I'd like to be seated at a table."
But annoyingly, they came upon another door. Next to it was a mirror, and below that, a brush with a long handle. On the door, it was written in red, "Please fix your hair and remove mud from your boots."
"Well, that's reasonable. I underestimated this place earlier at the entrance because this place is in the mountains.
They're quite strict about manners. Great men in very high positions must come here often."
The two men straightened up their hair and brushed the mud from their boots. Then, astonishingly, just as they returned the brush on the shelf, it faded away and a wind blew into the room. The startled two gentlemen huddled close to each other, threw open the door, and hurried through to the next room. They both thought that unless they ate something hot to get vitality soon, something beyond their imagination could happen. Something unusual was written on the other side of the door again. "Please leave your guns and ammunition here." Just next to the message was a black table.
"Well, of course, we don't need guns to eat. They really must be filled with many great men."
The two removed their guns and their ammunition belts and placed them on the table. There was another door, this time a black one. "Please remove your hats, overcoats, and shoes."
"What do you think?" "I guess we have to. There sure must be very important guests in the back room."
The two hung their hats and overcoats on a peg and removed their shoes and walked through the door barefoot. On the other side, it said, "Please leave here any tie pins, cufflinks, eyeglasses, wallets, or any other metal objects, especially sharp ones." Next to the door was an impressive safe, painted black and with its doors open. There was even a key.
I bet they somehow use electricity to cook here. That would make metal objects dangerous. That's why they say that pointed things in particular should be left here. Yes, that's surely it. So I guess we will pay our bills here when we come back.
Yes, I'm sure we will.
Yes, that sounds right.
The two removed their glasses and their cufflinks, put them in the safe, and securely locked it. A little further down, they came to another door. There was a glass jar in front of it. On the door, it was written, "Please apply the cream in the jar on your face, hands, and feet." Inside the glass jar, there was a milk cream.
Now, why do they want us to put this cream on? "Well, it's very cold outside, isn't it? If we go into a warm room for the cold air outside, our skin could crack and split. The cream is to prevent that. There really must be some important people in there. We might end up cultivating acquaintances with the aristocrats."
The two gentlemen put the cream on their faces and on their hands, and then took off their socks and put the cream on their feet. When they were done, there was still a little cream left. They each pretended to apply it to their face, but secretly ate it. When they hurriedly opened the door, on the other side of which was written, "Are you sure you apply the cream everywhere, including your ears?" Below that was another small jar.
"Well, indeed, I did forget to put it on my ears. I came close to making them crack and split. The owners here certainly are prepared for everything." "Yes, they've taken care of every detail. But I just want to get something to eat. I wonder when these hallways will end."
They soon came to the next door, which said, "The meal is almost ready. It'll be less than 15 minutes. Please splash the cologne in this bottle on your heads." In front of the door was a shining golden perfume bottle. They splashed its contents on their head. Oddly, it smelled strongly like vinegar.
"This cologne smells a lot like vinegar. Isn't that strange?" "It must be a mistake. Perhaps the maid or whoever put it here had a cold and put the wrong liquid in the bottle."
They opened the door and went inside. On the other side of the door was written, "We do apologize for requesting you to follow so many orders. Please rest assured that this is the last one. Rub plenty of this salt onto your bodies." Of course, right there was a magnificent blue porcelain salt box. But this time the two gentlemen gulped and turned their cream-covered faces towards each other.
"Something is wrong here." "I think something is wrong too." "The many orders were the orders they were giving us,"
one said.
"As far as I think, this European-style restaurant doesn't serve meals for people who come. This place is a place where they cook the people who come into meals and eat. That means we..."
His teeth started chattering, and his body started shivering, and he couldn't speak any further.
Do you mean we...
Ah! He started shaking and couldn't speak any further either.
Run! Said the gentleman, trying to push the door behind them, but the door wouldn't budge.
Further in was another door. It had two large keyholes and a silver knife and fork carved into it. Written on it was, "Thank you for your troubles. You both look well done. Now, please come inside."
They could see two blue eyes peering in through the keyholes.
"Ay!" Tremble, tremble. "Ugh!" Shudder, shudder.
The two started to cry. From the other side of the door, they could hear someone talking in whispery voices.
"This is not good. They figured it out. They won't rub the salt onto their bodies." "Well, of course not. It's because the boss didn't write well. We do apologize for requesting you to follow so many orders. It was a stupid thing to write." "Who cares? He won't even leave us a bone to gnaw on." "Well, that's true. But even so, if they don't come through here, we'll be held responsible. Let's try calling them."
Excuse me. Customers, please do come this way. The plates are all washed and the cabbage is salted and prepared. All we have left to do is to arrange you and the cabbage on a white plate. Please come quickly."
"Come on now, come on. Or perhaps you don't like salads?
If you prefer, we could start a fire and try the food instead. Fried. Anyway, please come quickly."
The two were so distressed that their faces crumpled up like waste paper, and seeing each other's distorted faces made them shiver all the more and start crying voicelessly. They heard a laughing voice shout from inside.
"Come on in, come on in. Don't cry like that. The cream will come off your faces. Come on in."
"Yes, sir. They're all ready. We'll bring them right away. Come on in, gentlemen."
"Please come in. Our boss has his napkin around his neck and is holding his knife and is licking his lips, waiting for you."
The two cried and cried and cried and cried and cried. Then, suddenly, there was a sound from behind them.
"Bow wow! Grrr!"
It was the two dogs that looked like polar bears, breaking down the door and jumping into the room. The eyes immediately disappeared from the keyholes. The dogs growled, running in circles about the room for a while. Then, with a final bark, they pounced on the next door. The door crashed open, and the dogs jumped through as they were sucked in. Behind the door, it was pitch black, and they heard a meowing, screeching, purring, and then rustling sounds. The room faded away like smoke, and the two were left shivering in the cold in the grass. As they looked about, they saw their coats, shoes, wallets, and tie pins hanging on branches and scattered about among the roots. The wind howled, the grass rustled, the leaves whispered, and the trees cracked. The dogs came back, howling. From behind, they heard,
"Sirs! Sirs!"
It was the huntsman, their guide in a straw hat, rustling his way towards them through the grass. The two were quite relieved. They ate some rice dumplings that their guide had brought them, bought some game birds within 10 yen on the way back to Tokyo. But even after returning to Tokyo, even taking a hot bath didn't repair their faces that were crumpled up like discarded paper.